I wanted to talk a bit about back in the 70s when Jimmy Johnson was hired, and you were there at OSU then.
Right. Jimmy was at OU, and I knew him, and I'd known him for a while, you know, and he and I were buddies, I mean, sort of. Really, I knew Jimmy Johnson probably better than almost any coach I ever worked under. Jimmy would do the unheard-of thing. Normally, coaches, you want to get a pregame interview. When do you do your pregame interview? Well, usually you do it on a Thursday, you know, before the game on Saturday. Jimmy would let me interview him the Saturday morning of the game.
Wow.
Unheard of. That was a big deal.
He really knew.
I went to Stillwater on Saturday morning, went to his office, did an interview right before the game. Because you had injury updates, you had everything. Just a terrific thing for a coach to do. Not only that, but we would do a live 15-minute TV show on Friday from his office. And not only that, but when OU played Miami, when Jimmy was at Miami in the Orange Bowl, all the Miami people wanted an exclusive TV interview with Jimmy. He came over to me. He said, "You set up in the other room, give me a nod, and I'll meet you in there."
Wow.
He was just great to me, Jimmy was.
And it all started at OU when he was there.
One Halloween, they all dressed up in weird costumes, half drunk, and Switzer and a bunch of them rang the doorbell. My wife and I went to the door.
Came here to this house.
Yeah. But Jimmy really treated me right.
That's nice to hear of a guy who remembers our friendship.
It's just to do those interviews on Saturday morning was just unheard of. You know, Stoops, we do it Thursday, if you're lucky.
And probably many coaches today are like
that. Oh, that's sure. They're very protective. They don't want to say anything, you know.
In 80-81, basketball season opened with Paul Hansen, who was very popular.
Paul was a great man. Paul had a hearing aid in both ears. He had five daughters. And he was so funny. His wife was a judge, still is. Of course, Paul's gone, but Paul used to say with her in his presence, "My daughters never woke up during the night." Of course, he had two hearing aids. He'd take those out. Paul was just a terrific guy. We have a deal on tape. Bobby still has it of Paul after they lost a basketball game, describing how his team screwed up the game. It's hysterical to hear Paul talk. It just, you know, he said, "My athletic director says, don't you teach your team anymore." He says, "I try. I really try." He said, "We go down, had an easy layup. All he has to do is just put the ball in the basket and we win." No, he has a finger roll. It never has gotten there yet. I mean, that's not nearly as funny as he says
it, but
it's passionate. You know, they blew it to layup because this guy tries a finger roll because Patrick Ewing or somebody did it that night before. So, anyway.
In 82, Channel 4 lost two sportscasters, and your son applied.
Once my son came on, the guys that were there could see the handwriting on the wall, that he was the heir.
This was Bob Berry Jr.
They originally called him Bob Berry 2, TWO, but that didn't work, so they put Jr. He really is not a junior. He has a different middle name.
And so that had to make you pleased?
Yeah.
What's happening to you then at this time?
Well, I am still a sports director, and Bob Jr. is number two man, or number three man, whatever. We had three of us. I was the boss, and he was working. And then as the years went by, it became obvious that it was getting time for me to move on because we'd gone a couple of different ownerships. You know, I'm getting up in years. Bobby was the heir apparent, which is fine with me. Then I moved in the position of being not the boss anymore. Bobby was sports director, which was fine with me. And I did the early show only for years, and then finally retired from TV.
About Coach Johnson, he started looking at other jobs. Howard Schnellenberger resigns at the University of Miami, and Johnson goes to Miami. And you were part of that, and Pat Jones comes on to be the head coach. Some of your recollections there, and with Pat Jones coming on, I mean, you loved Johnson. Pat Jones comes on.
Pat was another great friend. Pat was just terrific. Couldn't say anything but good things about Pat. Good coach, good guy. Really, I have no big stories.
Thurman Thomas commits to OSU. That was a big deal for them, most of their program.
Yeah, I got to do games when Barry Sanders, Thurman Thomas, they won 10 games, three seasons in a row, went to three bowl games in a row. Those were great times at OSU. Great success in those 3 years. And 3 years in a row, Barry Sanders took the opening kickoff, ran 100 yards for a touchdown to start the season. 3 years in a row. Great talent. He's the best running back I've ever seen, Barry Sanders. Then Thurman Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas is there, and Sanders is just bucking for the top job.
You talk about a tandem. Boy, that's two great running backs.
Hartley Dykes comes to OSU in 85.
He got five schools put on probation. Hartley Dykes did. Texas A&M, OSU, just a bad person.
For history's sake, what was it that he brought along to get all these schools on probation?
Illegal recruiting. Illegal inducements.
That he accepted or asked for?
Both, all of the above. I don't have all the details, but he really did. I say five schools. I know three for sure that he got put on probation. OSU was one of them.
We hear today in 2011 are hearing about that. As a matter of fact, HBO last night had a deal on Purdue and some of
the
recruiting
always,
violations.
If you and I shake hands and I have a $100 bill and you transfer, I mean, how are you going to stop that? It's hard for the guys that have the money and think they're powerful to not get their school in trouble because they give things they shouldn't.